This is the X Audio Service for October 1986. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey, and welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. Rather than going over to the front page of DX News, the magazine of the National Radio Club, we're going to be speaking with you right now from Phil Wayne's car. We're driving right now on the Ohio Turnpike, going east on the Turnpike to the 1986 National Radio Club Convention being held in Newcastle, Delaware. We hope to see a lot of you at the convention this year. And Phil, it's here we are, convention time. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a great weekend. I'm all excited about it. In fact, I think what I may want to do at this very moment is make a maneuver out here on the turnpike that leaves Fred absolutely speechless. I think that would be a broadcast first here on the DX Audio Service. What do you think, Fred?
I don't want to shock you, Phil, but that girl that's in that car ahead of us has no interest in you whatsoever. So forget about your maneuver. Anyways, we're on the way to the 1986 National Radio Club Convention. We got a whole lot in store for you on this particular edition of the audio service. We're going to be bringing you some highlights from the convention. Bob Walker will be with us with a look at the 1986 ANR convention that was held in Canada. Of course, we've got the usuals, John Pauker with the travel log. And of course, right now we're going to feature Jerry Starr with a look at the AM Switch column. Jerry?
Hi, this is Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. First of all, we'll start off with a bulletin, which may or may not come as news to you, depending on how much monitoring you've been doing in the last several weeks. But after months of still unexplained delays, the pact between the United States and Mexico, allowing full-time or extended hours operations on the Mexican clears, was finally signed without any prior notice on 8/28/86. All affected stations had already been notified of their power and hour provisions last year, and many began expanded operations on that day. The Mexican clears affected are 540, 730, 800, 900, 1050, and 1220. Now, just like the Canadian-American agreement several years ago, the maximum power is 500 watts. Many stations got considerably less. Around 100 daytime stations will get no extended hours at all on the Mexican clears. Most of these are very close to the Mexican border or near one of the handful of U.S. stations that already holds a full-time license on one of the Mexican clears. Nearly 300 stations have received 24-hour authority, while those remaining can operate up to 2 hours after their local sunset. Now, by the time this reaches you, many of these operations will already be on the air. We have noticed several in this area, and it opens up a number of new DXing opportunities, so it might be something to look for in the evening hours after sunset. Check the Mexican clears. You may find some new full-time or extended hour operations. Now let's get to the regular business of AM Switch, and as always, we start with a number of call letter changes, and we go all the way from 540 to 1600 on this, starting at the bottom end of the dial, WEIZ 540 in Columbus, Georgia, changes back to their old call of WDAK. On 610, KFRC, San Francisco, California, changed to KMMS, never used that call, decided to have it set aside and will remain KFRC. Also on 610, WLTO in Russellville, Kentucky, changes to WRUS. 740, WQSF, Williamsburg, Virginia, becomes WMBG. 770, KOB in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Because the radio was sold and the TV is keeping the KOB call letters, they must change calls, so they got as close as they could. The new call will be KKOB. On 790, KEKA, Eureka, California, becomes KFLI. 880, WEEG, Jefferson, Georgia, changes to WBKZ. On 930, KAJR, Union Gap, Washington, will be KZTA. 1120, the new station in Petal, Mississippi, will be WLJH. On 1130, WHHQ, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, will be WHHR. On 1150, KBOX, North Little Rock, Arkansas, changes to KEZQ. And also on 1150, KVIX, Highland Park, Texas, will be KVIL. 1160, another new station, this one in Virginia City, Nevada, will be KDXA. On 1180, WKKE, Pearl, Mississippi, changes to WJNT. 1190 WKDJ, a new station in Hughesville, Pennsylvania, that is not yet on the air, will be WTPS. On 1210, new station in Rockland, California, takes the call KFRP. 1240 WSSV, Petersburg, Virginia, will be WPLZ. On 1270, KINN, Alamogordo, New Mexico, becomes KXXZ. 1320, KNNC, Oceanside, California, changes to KGMG. 1360, KPQP, San Diego, California, will now be KPOP. We'll get to that in just a few moments. On 1390, we have four call letter changes. WMGI, Gainesville, Florida, becomes WDVH. WGWI, Charlotte, Michigan, becomes WNLF. And KKOA, Minot, North Dakota, becomes KRRZ. Did I say four? That was three, excuse me. On 1400, KRE, Berkeley, California, another old three-letter call is going bye-bye. They will become KBLX. As a matter of fact, they already have. That change has been made. On 1410, WKEQ in Tallahassee, Florida, becomes WBGM. And WJED, Somerville, Tennessee, becomes WSTN. 1440, WGTR, Lehigh Acres, Florida, will be WOOJ. 1450, WMOB, Moab, Utah, changes to KCNY. On 1460, KQTE, Santa Rosa, California, will be KWFN. And we mentioned the KPOP story before. On 1480, the Concord, California station, which was KWUN, had applied for KPOP. They have changed their mind and dropped that. They will remain KWUN, and as we mentioned before, KPOP will go to 1360 in San Diego. On 1510, KNTS, Mesa, Arizona, changes to WJAA. On 1540, KMFO in Soquel Capitola, California, will be KNZS. Two on 1550, WYOU, Tampa, Florida, became WAMA. That's already in effect. New station in Seaside Park, New Jersey, will be WNJO on 1550. And at the top end of the band, three different changes on 1600. KZON in Santa Maria, California, becomes KTAP. WCKZ, Austell, Georgia, changes to WADS. And WSTL, Eminence, Kentucky, will be WKXF. A number of new stations have been applied for. They include on 600, Lawrence, Indiana, 940, Pembroke, North Carolina, on 1060, Lake Isabella, California, and Las Vegas, Nevada. On 1100, a lot of stations are going to fight it out for this frequency in Florida. Applications from Jensen Beach, Loxahatchee, Palm Beach Gardens, and Palm Shores, Florida, all for 1100. On 1110, there's an application for a new station in Parkland, Florida. Four applications for 1120 in Vero Beach, Florida, Rocky Mount and Wilmington, North Carolina, and Florence, South Carolina. And on 1180, application for a new one in Roswell, New Mexico. Four new stations have been granted by the FCC since we spoke to you last. On 680, Newburgh, Kentucky will be 500 day, 500 night, U4. On 1020, Ringgold, Georgia will be 50,000 day, directional. And Mount Pleasant, Michigan, 3,600-day directional. And on 1590, Nikusa, Wisconsin, will be 500 watts non-directional, daytime only. As always, we have a long, long list of applications from existing stations for various sorts of changes. Applications for existing facilities include on 680 WLFF in St. Petersburg, Florida. They want to add 7,000 watts at night. 740 WLWI Montgomery, Alabama wants to go full-time also by adding 335 watts at night. And on 830 WGCF in Sanssouci, South Carolina would like to move up a notch. They want to go to 840 kilohertz. With 5,000 watts daytime directional. 1010 WCNL Newport, New Hampshire wants to move to 1020 with 6,500 watts daytime only. 1250 WKDX Hamlet, North Carolina wants to move to 1240 with a kilowatt day and night. 1280 KREL Henderson, Nevada would like to move up also to 1290 with 5,000 watts day and night and U4 antenna and change their city of license to Winchester, Nevada. On 1310 WXMC, Parsippany, New Jersey wants to go full-time by adding 360 watts at night. On 1420 WACK, Newark, New York wants to go from full-time to daytime. That doesn't happen often. Occasionally it does, and this is one case. They want to move to 840 and become daytime only with 5,000 watts. On 1520, WCMG Lawrenceburg, Tennessee also wants to change frequency down to 910 kilohertz, where they would like to be daytime with 500 watts. Now let's take a look at some grants that have been given to existing facilities. We start on 770 with KKOB. It's going to be hard to get used to putting that extra K in that call, isn't it? We explained earlier that that is their new call. KKOB, Albuquerque, New Mexico, their application for a synchronous transmitter in Santa Fe on 770 has been granted. That synchronous transmitter will have a day and night power of 230 watts. On 830 WMMI, Marshall, Michigan, a CP which has not yet been built is going to relocate to Shepherd, Michigan. 1270 KIAM, Nenana, Alaska, granted a move to 630 kilohertz, where there will be 5,000 watts full-time. 1310 WGSP, Charlotte, North Carolina, goes full-time by adding 1,600 watts at night. Their antenna will be U2. 1480 KLAY, Lakewood, Washington, granted a move to 1180 kilohertz with 2,400 watts daytime, 100 watts nighttime, and a U2 antenna. On 1520, WCSP, Crystal Springs, Mississippi, also moving way down to the other end of the dial to 590, where they will have 500 non-directional watts daytime only. 1580 WVKO, Columbus, Ohio, will add 250 watts at night, change their antenna to U4. And finally, on 1590, WAWA in West Allis, Wisconsin, will be moving to 1200 kilohertz with 5,000 watts day, 2500 night, and a U4 antenna. Now let's take a scan down through the highlights from Otherness, news and items from all around the AM broadcast biz. We start down below the broadcast band, or what used to be below the broadcast band, on 530, where the Canadian government has authorized the first commercial operation below the traditional broadcast band. CJFT in Fort Erie, Ontario, is, as we mentioned last issue, indeed on the air. We had a chance to hear this station while in Buffalo a few weeks ago, and they are a commercial contemporary hit radio operation with 250 watts day and night, using one of the towers of the CJRN 710 DA system, which is in Fort Erie. The station is owned by the same company. As a matter of fact, they even carry CJRN programming from midnight till 6. They seem to have a real good signal for 250 watts on this frequency. Earlier, we had voiced a question as to whether or not WGR on 550, pretty close on the broadcast band, would cause any splatter on 530. We sat in the driveway of WGR's transmitter, which incidentally is also WKBW's transmitter site. There was no splatter at all. So it looks like CJFT has got quite a signal on 530, and it might be worth looking for if you're anywhere in the eastern part of the United States. Elsewhere in Otherness, on 640 WLVJ, Royal Palm Beach, Florida, this station has been constructed and is expected to be on the air soon. On 680, applications for new stations in both Okolona and Shepherdsville, Kentucky, have been dismissed. Also on 680, KVGO, Pineville, Louisiana, a CP which has been around for a long time and was never built. This station has now been canceled, so there will be no KVGO in Pineville. 730 WDKT, Madison, Alabama. This new station is now on the air. On 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, station has been granted an extension of a CP to build their new station until November. 770 KCHU, Valdez, Alaska. This new station went on the air the 1st of August. 840, application for new station in Hemlock, Michigan, has been dismissed. 870 CFBV in Smithers, British Columbia. They are now here. Former frequency was 1230. On 960 WGRR, Pritchard, Alabama, this new station is now on the air with a religious format. 990 KTLE, Thule, Utah, station is now silent. Also on 990, WWRS in Mayville, Wisconsin. New station has been granted an extension of CP for the new station until February of 87. On 1000 WYBT, Blountstown, Florida, the station is now silent. On 1020 WRIX, Homeland Park, South Carolina, a station that was only granted a few months ago is already on the air with 1,000 watts directional daytime only. On 1030 KGUS, Florence, Arizona, this is an unbuilt CP. They had applied once again for another extension of a CP to build the new station. That application has been denied, so it may very well be that that station will go by the boards before it ever gets on the air. 1040 CIOF, Vancouver, British Columbia. This new station went on the air the 1st of September. They are talking the days and oldies at night. KKRE on 1040, Monument, Colorado. This new station is also on the air with a religious format. Reported by our friend Wayne Heinen is having a very poor signal in the city of Denver, which it was obviously meant to serve. On 1040, WSGH, Louisville, North Carolina, granted an extension of a CP for a new station until May of 1987. On 1090, WKII, Port Charlotte, Florida, also granted a CP extension for a new station until the 5th of January, 87. On 1130, WKIJ, Parrish, Alabama, another new station now on the air. They have a religious format. On 1200 in Chicago, Illinois, as you may recall if you have been listening to AM Switch for a while, a few months ago, an initial decision by the FCC granted an application for a new station on 1200 here in Chicago, and at the same time dismissed an application by WAWA in West Allis, Wisconsin, also to move to 1200. The final hearing examiner has reversed that decision, so the final decision is that Chicago will be denied, and as we mentioned earlier, WAWA will get to operate on 1200. So if you wrote in Chicago on 1200 in your logbook, you can scratch that one out. On 1210, WGSF, Arlington, Tennessee, another new station that's on the air, went on the 19th of August. They have an adult contemporary format. 1280, WXOZ, Jacksonville, Florida. This station is silent. Also on 1300, KHUG, Phoenix, Oregon, is silent. 1360, KWAS, Amarillo, Texas. The station is silent while a sale is in progress. They are expected to return following the sale with a religious format. 1430, WBMK, Knoxville, Tennessee, is silent for the second time in a year. 1470, WLVU, Clearwater, Florida. They have dropped their full-time CP and will remain a daytimer only. 1500, KVSN, Tumwater, Washington. They have been granted an extension of a CP for their new station until February of 87. 1550 WVAB, Virginia Beach, Virginia. This station is silent once again. On 1560 KBRL, Imperial, Nebraska. This is a CP for a new station which has been around for several years at least, possibly more than that. Their most recent request for another extension of their CP has been denied, so you may also never see KBRL on the air. 1580 WJIK, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, has been granted an extension until January of 87 for their move to 830 kilohertz. On 1590, application for a new station in Byron, Wisconsin, that has been dismissed. And finally on 1600 WQBR, Atlantic Beach, Florida, that station is now silent. By the way, we were talking earlier about CJFT, the new station on 530 in Fort Erie, Ontario, and it looks, at least from around this area, that many, many people will be able to hear this station. Here is where you send your reception reports. We called them and finally managed to extract an address from them, although they acted as though it was a big mystery for some reason. Anyway, CJFT in Fort Erie, Ontario, is at Box 530, and the Canadian postal code is L2A5Y1. And that will do it for this month. This has been Jerry Starr with AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. I'll see you next month with more stuff.
Radio Melbourne 3AW, the talk of the town.
And now here's the party animal of the 1986 National Radio Club Convention, Mr. Phil Wayne.
Thanks for another outstanding introduction, Fred. This is Market Scope for October 1986, and I'm Phil Wayne. This month, we're off to Grand Rapids, Michigan to sample a bit of Western Michigan radio. Many Grand Rapids stations are difficult DX catches. Many are either daytimers or low-power local stations on the so-called graveyard channels. Let's check out WCUZ 1230 and daytimer WWJQ 1260.
For WCUZ Weather, I'm TV 13 meteorologist Dave Whitford.
Yeah, I
forgot questions. Who I was.
That's right. All right, we'll check with you a little later.
Okay.
CUZ Saturday morning show on the radio with Tom Ellis' new song called Alone Tonight on CUZ. And now you know the rest of the story. Paul Harvey, Monday through Saturday, 8:30 in the morning, exclusively in West Michigan on WCUZ and WCUZ-FM Grand Rapids. Here's the Dirt Band with Stand a Little Rain at 25 till 9. CUZ, the weather from Dave. Fog lifting this morning, then partly cloudy and warm, high 85. Tonight, partly cloudy, some patchy fog, the low in the mid-60s. Hang on a minute. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. It's a terrible feeling. Where were we? My eyes just rolled. Tonight, partly cloudy, some patchy fog with a low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny. Chance of a shower or a thundershower, the high 83. 69 Lakeshore, 67 Lansing, light fog 66 Grand Rapids. And if you be beach-bound, Holland showing 66 in the water, and Grand Haven a matching 66 degrees. Here are the Bellamy Brothers on the Saturday morning show on the radio from CUZ at 8:40. Larry Gatlin, Gatlin Brothers Band, all the gold in California on WCUZ, WCUZ-FM, Grand Rapids. Saturday morning show on the radio continues with Dan Dickerson from the CUZ Newsroom. Come in, Dan.
Good morning, Dave. Strike against Michigan Bell didn't last long. Michigan Bell and the Communication Workers of America said...
Fort Wayne, Indiana, reporting 71. In Chicago at O'Hare Field, 70 degrees across the lake, 69 degrees and already sunshiny at General Billy Mitchell Field in Milwaukee. Currently at our studios, the winds are out of the southwest at about 5 miles an hour, and a temperature reading of 73 degrees at 2 minutes before 11 o'clock.
WWJQ, Zeeland, Holland.
Your best shot at Grand Rapids verification is from WOOD 1300 kHz. The full-time 5,000-watt facility aims most of its power to the north-northwest at night, with minor lobes to the northeast, southeast, and southwest. Wood AM features a full-time adult contemporary full-service format.
WOOD, with the best listeners in West Michigan. Thanks for sharing your day with us. 1300 Wood Radio.
Thought you said the Tigers could take the division.
You said it could be done.
I didn't say it. Sparky's the one that said it. It's 20 minutes to 7 at Wood and Wood FM, 70 degrees. Anyway, picked a fine time to leave me, Lucy. Don't comment, just sing it. To happen that way, moving west. A lot of strange things go. You and I are groping toward each other in the fog this morning.
You going to try some of your famous coochie coo?
No, not right now. Maybe later, though. You're coming in by Braille system this morning. It is foggy now that we have a little light on the subject. Not much, but the first gray light of dawn. And you can certainly distinguish the fog patches out there. And if you're driving, you know, of course, what I'm talking about. Thicker near the lake and some pretty heavy ones out on Lake Michigan. And as I have been repeating the admonition of Captain Jack, any travel in the fog, remember, half the distance belongs to the other guy. And also this morning and continuing today, northbound 131 from 28th Street into about Franklin, two lanes are closed. The middle lane and the left-hand lane are closed. Right-hand lane is open. Now, tomorrow, just left-hand lane, I understand, will be open. So that will continue that construction right through the weekend. 6:45 at Wood and Wood FM. Give me a moment to pause for the cause. And if you just joined us, we'll tell you about the weather.
The news leader, WOOD, WOOD FM, Grand Rapids.
Good morning. This is Bill Stevens. The news is the service of Roney & Company with 25 offices to serve you. Among the stories we're following, owners of a local transmission shop charged with auto repair ripoff had their day in court. Studying
WLAV 1340 is a longtime Grand Rapids rocker. In the early 80s, WLAV was briefly a big band, Music of Your Life clone. WLAV soon discovered that Wood AM had an extremely loyal audience and returned to rock as an oldie station. Today, WLAV AM features primarily satellite-fed programming from the oldies channel.
1340, WLAV.
I've been waiting for the last 4.5 hours to play this song. It's one of my all-time faves from the Neon Philharmonic.
WLAV AM, 1340.
And from 1969, there it is. Yeah, Neon Philharmonic and Morning Girl. And good morning, everybody. It is Saturday, and this is the Oldie Channel. We're playing the good stuff. I'll tell you what we heard, okay? We had the Chiffons, and He's So Fine. And classic rock from very tail end of 1957, beginning of 1958. Danny and the Juniors at the Hop. This is, it's the 9th anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley. And Elvis's only child, Lisa Marie, is in the news. There have been a lot of rumors going around for quite some time now that, number one, she was forced to give her entire inheritance to the church, and number two, that she was estranged from her mother, Priscilla Presley, who, of course, big star also on Dallas. Well, she finally gave an interview, Lisa Marie did, and she has finally told a bunch of reporters in Memphis that, no, it's just none of it is true, that she hasn't given all her inheritance to the church, and not only are her and her mother good friends, but they even live together. She says, the stories about Lisa, this is Priscilla talking, the stories about Lisa donating her inheritance to the church are malicious falsehoods. She doesn't receive her inheritance, which includes Graceland, until she's 25, and Lisa Marie is only 18. So maybe when she gets it, well, maybe then she'll be forced to give it away. Well, it only figures. Joe Jones and You Talk Too Much is coming up next.
This is Jim Heddle inviting you to join me for 5 hours of great old-time rock and roll each weekday morning here on WLAV AM. It's the Jim Heddle Show from 7 a.m. until noon with all your favorites from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And don't forget our artist spotlight on the breakfast special at 8:05. All here on AM 1340, WLAV.
On WLAV, 1340 AM.
And it's Joe Terry taking you back to 1965 or the Turtles and It Ain't Me, Babe. Right before that, good stuff from 69. Peter, Paul, and Barry leaving on a jet plane. 9 years before that, Joe Jones and You Talk Too Much on the Oldies Channel. Hi. Dion Jackson and Love Makes the World Go Round. Right here.
AM, WLAV.
Yes, friends, there it is, the touching story of a boy and his rat, Michael Jackson and Ben. A lot of press coverage of Michael Jackson this past week. Stories that he's been seen in the L.A. area wearing a mask, and then supposedly under that mask is a brand new cleft in his chin, part of the new image. My question I have is if the guy was wearing a mask, how they know it was Michael Jackson, you know? Right before that, one of the lesser-known songs from the Four Seasons, 1965, the year for Bye Bye Baby, and Joe Terry on the Oldies Channel.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day.
AM 1340 wants to send you to Wrigley Field to see the Chicago Cubs. Each week, you have the chance to win the WLAV Cubs package giveaway, including 2 field box game tickets with round-trip transportation to the game provided by Amtrak. Stay tuned for details on your Grand Rapids Chicago Cubs connection.
1340 WLAV AM, Grand Rapids.
It's a merry-go-round of Grand Rapids fun. 1340 WLAV.
Here's coming.
And the Oldies Channel is rock and rolling, and remember it. From 1961, we got Neil Sedaka.
Over on WLAV, 1340 AM.
And Neil Sedaka from 1961. Happy birthday, Sweet 16. Right before that, we had Three Dog Night. And look out, Eli's coming. Wait a minute. I think that's him. False alarm, friends. Relax. That's not Eli. I'll let you know when he gets here, okay? We've got The Doors, the long version of Light My Fire. It's coming up next on the Oldies Channel.
Home of the Chicago Cubs, the Chicago Bears, and great oldies. We're 1340 WLAV AM, Grand Rapids.
Long and winding.
WKTH, for many years, was Top 40 WGRD. The Top 40 format has since been transferred to the FM, WGRD, and the AM competes directly with WLAV AM. Grand Rapids currently has the unique distinction of having both satellite-fed oldie services in direct competition on the AM band. Here is daytimer WKTH 1410, followed by a brief sweep up the AM band.
Playing the best variety of the greatest hits, Jan and Dean there. It's a little old lady from Pasadena. Pat Cody, I got to bail out of here. Randy Davis next going to party the night away with you. Stick around.
West Michigan's all-time rock and roll radio station, WKTH, Grand Rapids.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Playing the greatest hits of all time, it's Dion DiMucci and Where or When. I'm Russ Martin. It's a hot wax weekend. We're going to do another four in a row coming up. Bobby Gentry's on the way along with Elvis, and Curtis Lee is up next.
WKTH, playing only the greatest hits of all time on West Michigan's 14K.
The new 14K, WKTH. Playing the greatest hits of all time, it's Bobby Gentry and Ode to Billy Joe. I'm Russ Martin. It's a hot wax weekend. Going to do another four in a row. Elvis on the way along with CCR. BG's up next.
Aren't you glad to
Hello, I'm talking to the town.
Yeah, are they going to air that show this morning?
Which show is that?
At the Civic Center.
Oh, no, they're not going to.
Oh, what a disappointment.
Oh.
You can't get over there, but all... farmer's market and won't be able to find a parking place, and I just thought maybe yous would air it.
No, we're not going to be airing it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. We're going to break for news and we'll return.
At the Weeping Willow, Warm Friend, downtown Holland, the second in the series, Roman Plate of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, is now available. Priced at just $24.50. Poster Push 1986 on WHTC Holland. Listen for details. Good morning. It's 11 o'clock. I'm Dick Skaffner for WHTC News.
That's right. Got to hold on with Matty Maltz Clark and the Michigan State Choir. It's 9 o'clock. You're listening to WMAX Grand Rapids, Kenwood, 1480 with the program Experience and your host, Lamont Baker, until midnight. And hold on right here. I'll be right back in about 5 minutes. Coming up next is Mutual News. So sit tight and hold on.
Considering the compromise. The compromise is not what the White House has agreed to, but Mutual's Al Freeman with the president.
Good evening. It is now 1 minute in front of 7 o'clock. Let's take a look at some state news. Jack Pilecki reporting live from the FUR newsroom. In Lansing, it is mostly sunny, 83. Winds are out of the west there at 6. 84, mostly sunny in Grand Rapids. Humidity, 53 here. Winds are out of the west at 7 miles per hour. It's dropped off to 76 in the Muskegon, Zeeland, Holland area. And it's mostly sunny there, and winds are out of the southwest at 10 miles per hour. Battle Creek, Kalamazoo, partly sunny, 87. That's south of us. Humidity at 55 with winds out of the south at 6. 2.5 minutes now past the hour of 7. And it's time now for Gospel Music Hour to entertain you greatly on this great Saturday evening.
Music, news, and the best in inspirational programming. WFUR AM and WFUR FM in Grand Rapids.
As daytimer WFUR 1570 fades into the tape hiss, we end Market Scope for another month. We'd like to give a special thanks to the National Radio Club's Bob Walker for taping the radio segments during his recent Grand Rapids trip. Also, I would like to thank all of you who attended the NRC convention in Newcastle, Delaware. It was a fun convention. Next month, we'll check out Newcastle Wilmington Radio. For the National Radio Club and the DX Audio Service, this is Phil Wayne.
Thanks very much, Phil. And speaking of Bob Walker, here he is with a look at what happened at Anarch 1986.
At Anarchcon 86, Bob Walker for the DX Audio Service, talking to Kim Andrew Elliott of The Voice of America. And Kim, I don't know your official title with The Voice of America.
I'm not sure of it either, but some people call me the Director of Audience Research, and I'm within the Office of Audience Relations at Voice of America.
For those that don't know it, maybe you should explain the Voice of America real briefly and what its aim is to the world, and if it's got an aim to the United States or not.
It probably doesn't. It's the official international broadcast station of the U.S., of the United States. It's part of the United States Information Agency. We broadcast worldwide in 42 languages. We provide a service of news and current affairs and some entertainment and opinion through our editorials.
Is the Voice of America, obviously it's the international service, due to the fact that shortwave doesn't seem to be a popular hobby in the United States, their goal is not to broadcast anything to the United States, or what?
Well, that's stipulated by law, actually. In the 1950s, Congress determined that anything produced by the United States Information Agency, including print materials, films, and radio, are not to be disseminated within the United States. It was to keep the United States Information Agency from becoming a domestic propaganda agency, and I think also to keep it from competing with domestic commercial media. Now, of course, physically it's impossible to keep VOA from being heard in the United States, and so we realize that we do have an audience here. And in the past, we've actually been sending schedules to listeners in the United States. I don't think we're doing it as much as we used to, but we acknowledge the fact that we do have listeners in the U.S. We just don't make any efforts to attract listeners in the United States.
In your research that you do for The Voice of America, what do you seem to be finding among the listeners around the world? Do they, what are they wanting to listen to in shortwave, and are they listening to shortwave more or less?
Well, right now we estimate about 119 million listeners around the world. That's listening at least once a week. It is probably going down a bit as competing media becomes stronger. Video tape recorders are very popular in many third world areas, and that's cutting into the amount of time that people used to listen to radio. Domestic television systems are getting better. Domestic print media are improving. So that all will cut into the audience for international broadcasting. International broadcasting seems to flourish in target countries where the domestic media are deficient for some reason, either as far as news or as far as entertainment goes. As far as programming preferences, we find that there is quite a bit of interest in science and technology. There's also interest in getting news about the listener's own area of the world. For instance, people in Zambia and Zimbabwe would want to get news about Southern Africa that they don't seem to be able to get from their own domestic broadcasting services. There is some amount of interest in lifestyles of average Americans. And some of the music programs are popular especially if there's a personality connected with those programs.
Well, we noticed, I think, in the past that the Voice of America has added some programs, some music programs and the like. What's in the future for the Voice of America? Anything you can tell us? Is there anything in the planning stages for the Voice of America and changes, or will it be a status quo?
We hope it's not status quo. We're involved in a major modernization program to upgrade our transmitters. We want to have 500 kilowatt units in many of our relay stations and maybe add some new relay sites too. Now, that was all part of an ambitious modernization program that was going to be in excess of $1 billion worth of new hardware. With the Graham Rudman Howling situation, that might be reduced to some extent. But we did want to improve our signal. We also have to renovate our studios, and we are in the process of renovating our studios and adding some new equipment. In fact, that's the theme of the exhibit we have here at Anarch. Also, maybe some changes in programming, but most of the changes taking place now are technical. There has been some discussion of adding new languages, but with the Graham Rudman Howling situation, I don't know if we'll be able to do that.
Okay, Kim, thanks for joining us, and good luck with the rest of your stay here. I think we're all going to be a little worse for the wear after it's all over.
It's being a very interesting and very busy convention, but it's great to be here. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Bob Walker for putting together that interview at Anarch 1986, and Bob will be back with us next edition on the DX Audio Service with more interviews from Anarch 1986. Now Phil Tallman has a story on Jack Buck, radio announcer.
The University of Missouri at St. Louis awarded broadcasting veteran Jack Buck an honorary Doctorate of Humane Letters degree. Recently, Buck is sports director of KMOX Radio in St. Louis, and he's an announcer for the St. Louis Baseball Cardinals. Buck was honored during summer commencement exercises in the Mark Twain Building on the UMSL campus. Degrees were awarded to about 450 candidates. C. Peter McGrath, president of the University of Missouri, presented Buck with his diploma. He was recognized as a distinguished broadcaster and as a person who gives his time and talents to civic and charitable organizations. Buck, a graduate of Ohio State University, had a message for the graduates. Congratulations in finishing the mouse race. And now the rat race begins. For the DX Audio Service, this is Phil Tallman.
Well, from the rat race to the horse race, here's Harry Dentz with a look at WHRS.
Our guest today is Larry Trimmer, the vice president and general manager for the Cromwell Group's interests in the Winchester, Lexington, Kentucky area, WFMI-FM. And WHRS AM. Larry, we first met a few years ago when you seemed to have plenty of work and a big challenge establishing WFMI FM in the Lexington market, and that went very successfully. That would seem like enough work for anyone to do. How did you get into the AM business?
Harry, we of course, being licensed to a suburban community, have done a great deal of business in our city of license, as well as in the Lexington metro area, which we've been able to serve for the last 3 years. We were faced with only one competitor in selling the Winchester market area, and that was AM radio station Daytimer WWKY, which has been on the air since the early 1950s. They being our local competitor for that portion of our market area, as they fell on harder times, we knew as part of our long-term business plan that sooner or later we'd be able to acquire the radio station. And about a year and a half ago, that opportunity came before us, and we availed of ourselves of that opportunity. It gave us the opportunity in Clark County to say we've met the competition and they are us, instead of they are them. So we saw that as being a good business strategy, even though we knew that investing in AM daytime radio stations in this day and age can be pretty risky.
Apparently it was risky for the former owners, and when you took it over, they had a country and western format, if I'm not mistaken?
No, they were doing a soft rock, adult contemporary kind of format. The country format is what we instituted and did a miserable job with.
But you had satellite feed and so forth and a good sound.
Well, we had a good sound for a while. We have had the problem with the satellite here in our particular community. We sit right under a major microwave relay station for the telephone company. That didn't present a problem on the front end, but when they added a few channels 6 months into our satellite reception, without any advance notice to us, we found ourselves with seriously deficient signal from the satellite, and as a result, a bad sounding product on our AM station.
So that contributed, I guess, to the decision to become WHRS.
It contributed a lot. What the real impetus was in thinking about what to do with the radio station, it was the approval of the FCC to increase our power from 1,000 watts to 2,500 watts. This gave us the opportunity to look at serving a larger geographic area and most of central Kentucky. And as a result, we were faced with making some of the same kinds of decisions that we made with WFMI, saying, well, we don't have to be just a Winchester, Kentucky radio station. We can be a regional station, but if we're going to do that, where is the niche? How do we get an audience and hold an audience and have a way to market a product? And being an AM daytime country station didn't make sense as a regional product in any way, shape, or form.
So you folks decided where the niche was, and that niche is something that's drawn a lot of attention. It's something totally original. Would you tell us, please, what that is?
Well, we are America's and truly the world's only horse racing information radio station. And we saw an industry here that was being served by absolutely no daily medium. The partial exception to that statement would be the daily racing form, but it didn't orient itself to lots of different types of news that were of importance, and it also had that same deficiency that all print media does, and that's the delay time. They could tell you what the races scheduled for today were, but you couldn't get tomorrow's or today's results until tomorrow or the day after tomorrow at the earliest. So there was no way for the person in the horse business here, and it's a business, it's not just a sport, to get that financial information about what his horse did in today's race, or whether his horse was scratched from today's race. And there was a chance for somebody to provide a new service. We looked at the industry and saw it being served by several print publications, and we saw those publications getting rich selling advertising to these people, and we saw a business opportunity.
So you didn't analyze by age bracket to deliver a top-end clientele to your advertisers. You went after a specific business that was cash-rich and yet unserved in its prime community.
We, in the strictest sense, Harry, I guess, are an electronic newspaper. We are a trade publication as opposed to a traditional radio format. We deliver the information and the service that we provide over the airwaves, but we're not doing a format in the sense that people traditionally think of radio formats. Can I make one last comment that I hope you don't have
use
to edit
the whole
out?
Tape.
I just wanted to say, too, to the DXers that are listening to this, as a lifelong broadcaster, we appreciate your hobbies and interests. We do receive DXing letters from the folks around the country from time to time, and I promise you, if you're tuned to us and you send me one of your forums, we'll be happy to get it right back to you. We always have, and we're glad to hear from DXers.
Oh, that's terrific. Not enough answer that way, Larry. Thank you so much.
Good evening. You're listening to the WHRS Thoroughbred Racing Wrap-Up.
And that about does it for this side of the DX Audio Service. We'll see you on side two with a report on the 1986 National Radio Club Convention and our convention business report. That and more on side two of this cassette, the DX Audio Service for October 1986.